And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
You know, some say he's made himself a dictator. Other people just say, well, he's a communist. Others say, well, he's really mafiosa. And many say, well, he signed so many executive orders that are really not constitutional. He just does whatever he wants. He's a liar. Well, well, enough about Barack Obama. Let's talk about another man, Vladimir Putin from the Russian Federation. You know, some people say the same thing about Vladimir Putin that they're saying about Barack Obama. But what really is the truth about Vladimir Putin? You know, as a young man, for many, many years, in fact, for all of my over 20 years in the U.S. Air Force, I retired as an officer, you know, in 1982. It was during the Cold War era, and we were up against the Soviet Union. I remember as a young man, Joseph Stalin was in charge of the Soviet Union, and we would go out in the daytime, and sometime we would hear an airplane overhead. There were not a lot of airplanes back then, like there are today. But we'd try to see the markings on the side to see if it might be a Soviet airplane. They're attacking America. As a kid, you know, that was our idea. And we would have exercises in our school where we would, you know, the alarm would go off and we would crouch under our desk and put our hands over our necks, you know, behind our necks, that is. Because if we were worried about atomic bombs from Russia, from the Soviet Union. Well, in the era 1984-87, the Soviet Union fell. It collapsed. Why did it collapse? Because of its economy. It became a military powerhouse, or powder keg, that is. Very strong. It was a giant militarily, but a dwarf, a nothing economically. And so it fell. It collapsed. Why did it collapse? After all, the Soviet Union was a vast empire made up of many different countries, with Russia having about 160 million people, the largest and most powerful. But it was made up of many other republics, many other nations as well, all held together by military power, by communist might. They wanted to take over the world, but they were a puny economic empire. And due to communism, they actually got worse and worse and worse. And the people grew more and more impoverished. And many adults became drunkards on vodka. And I mean, you can't get a person to work when the business isn't theirs and they don't care about it. And you don't care about them. And the government owns everything and the Communist Party rules. And you've taken 66 million people. That's right. According to Alexander Solzhenitsyn, in his book, 200 Years Together, he says that the Soviet Union massacred, purged, killed, sent to gulags, and otherwise disposed of 66 million. I mean, it's been said that the Hitler era was a picnic. Of course, I don't see how anything is a picnic when you're going to be led off to the slaughter. But it certainly was in comparison to the Russian slaughter. The Russians must be very evil people. No, no, no. It was the Jews that did the damage. Vladimir Lenin, was the head of the communist empire beginning in 1917. His second in command was Leon Trotsky, also known as Leon Brownstein. And then down the pike was Kaganovich, Molotov, and somewhere down there was Joseph Stalin. 19 of the 22 members of the Politburo, that's the highest level body in the Soviet Union, were Jews. They were Jews. And Lenin even hid the fact that he was Jewish to deceive the people of the Soviet Union. He made them think they would have freedoms and liberties, but he gave them barbed wire, prison, death, bloodshed. But in the middle of the 1980s, things changed. Gorbachev came in and the Berlin Wall fell and the Iron Curtain fell in the Soviet Union and things began to, a thaw began to take place. And eventually even the KGB, the secret police itself, changed. It became an organization called the FSB, Federal Bureau. Even the KGB changed. Pravda, the number one newspaper and press system in the Soviet Union, Pravda means truth. That's the Soviet or the Russian meaning of the word Pravda. It actually became the truth. Today, Pravda is an independent newspaper and news service, and people trust Pravda more than they do the New York Times. It's the New York Times and the Washington Post that are liars. They're full of trash and propaganda. They're owned by the Jews. But Pravda is an independent newspaper, and frankly, most people of any knowledge at all trust Pravda more than they do the Washington Post or the New York Times. Now, in 2000, a man came up. Very mysteriously, I might say. His name was Vladimir Putin. Even today, he's only 61 years of age. And although he's made out to be sort of a giant and sort of a, he's a pop icon, you know, they picture him without his shirt and he's, you know, shooting tigers in Siberia and he's out doing fishing for the big fish. And I mean, he's, he's a real man among men. I expect him at any time to do one of these commercials for, what is that beer? You know, where the guy says, I don't often drink beer, but when I do, it's Dos Equis or something like that. You know, be thirsty, my good friend, or something, the guy on television. Well, I'm expecting Vladimir Putin to do that commercial. You know. But in any case, those are just sort of mythic proportions. The fact is, though, that he's been a very admirable president of the Russian Federation. That's what it's called. We call it United States of America. They call it the Russian Federation. But let's just call it Russia, shall we? Now, I want to propose something to you today. Something very, well, I mean, you're going to think that I've gone out of my mind. That surely I'm not serious. But I'd like to propose for you that Vladimir Putin is deserving of the Nobel Peace Prize. The Nobel Peace Prize. Now, there's a little bit of mystery about Vladimir Putin. I'm not sure of, you see, because in 1998, he was made head. He was in his 40s. He was made head of the KGB, you know, former KGB, now called the FSB. F, that's in Frank, Sally, Bob, FSB. And for 2 years, he headed up the FSB. Now, you don't get to be head of the FSB unless, you know, somebody's got you down. I mean, as a pretty powerful guy of note. Who made him head of the FSB? Well, Boris Yeltsin was the president. The revolution had occurred, the fall of the Soviet Union. Russia was its independent country, and all the countries had broken away from it. So Estonia, Latvia, you know, Lithuania, of course, Poland, Czechoslovakia, Romania, all those countries, the Ukraine, Kazakhstan, they'd all broken away and all become independent. So Russia was on its own. But it still had the FSB, but they weren't operating like the KGB. But I still don't trust them, and I wouldn't trust a man who was head of the FSB, and that man was Vladimir Putin. He'd come up from the time he was a young man, right out of college. He was a poor guy, evidently, poor boy. His mother was a Christian. She raised him as a Christian in the, you know, Russian Orthodox Church. Some people call it the Eastern Orthodox Church. She was a traditional Christian. His father, however, was a member of the KGB. There's been no indication his father ever became a Christian, but he let Vladimir's mother raise, you know, Vladimir. And she raised him as a Christian, took him to church with her. But when he was old enough, he also became an agent of the KGB, like his father. So he had somebody to sort of help him along, didn't he? He had his father, who's now dead. But he quickly went up the ranks of the KGB and became head of it. Now, before he became the head of it, he was assigned to East Germany, where he became the chief of the KGB in East Germany. Very powerful position. But now back in Russia, in 1998, they brought him from Germany and Yeltsin made him head of the FSB. For 2 years, he was head of that. Then he went into politics. Now, before you say this is bad, we can't trust anybody who was in the KGB or the intelligence service, I wonder what the Russians say about George Bush Sr. I mean, George Bush Sr. was director of the Central Intelligence Agency. So we had a man president who was director, had been director of the CIA. Over in Russia, they have a man who's president beginning in 2000, the year 2000, who had been head of the FSB or the KGB. So we're sort of on equivalent notes there, aren't we? I mean, we have to sort of throw stones at George Bush Sr. if we're going to throw stones at Putin. In 2000, after just 2 or 3 years as head of the FSB, I mean, suddenly he became the president with Yeltsin's blessings. Now, Yeltsin may have had a bottle or two of vodka too much that day. I don't know. They say he was quite a drunkard. But Putin has never been accused of drinking too much. But there he was, Vladimir Putin, president of a train wreck, an economic train wreck. Because after it became the independent and free, that still didn't make it an economic power. And the Soviet Union, or the Russia, I should say, was still an economic dwarf. It's still a bad shape country, terrible shape. Now, the communists had actually run the Soviet Union, and they continued to run Russia. And under Boris Yeltsin as president, they were the bosses. Now, when communism failed, they invited all their Jewish friends from the United States and Europe to come over to Russia and teach them how to set up a Wall Street type arrangement, the market, stocks and so forth, and how to set up a capitalist system. So the Jews of the United States came over, Jeffrey Sachs from Harvard and others, came over to Russia, and within a short period of time, all the rich Jews in Russia owned everything. That's right. They own the gas company. They own the oil company. They own the auto factories. Jews own Russia within a few years. And Yeltsin oversaw the whole thing. Now, Putin is not Jew, just sat there at KGB or the FSB, biding his time. I think he was making dossiers of everyone. He was watching everyone. He's very careful, very, very clever guy, very sly. And then he became the president. And all the Jews thought the good times would never quit. The parties would roll on and on. Mikhail Khodorkovsky was head of the Yukos Oil Corporation. He was the richest man in Russia. The richest man. He was a Jew. And he didn't really believe in paying income taxes. And so he had all these offshore places, you know, the islands of Bermuda and all that, where he put all his money. And so, by the way, did others, such men as Boris Berezovsky and Vladimir Gusinski. They believed in these offshore tax havens. And that's where they put their windfall profits. Now, Russia is the world's largest oil producer. The world's largest oil and gas producer. Now, you would have thought that the Russian people, since the price of oil and gasoline has gone through the moon, you would think the Russian people would be extremely rich. But moving into the 90s and on up to 2000, they were extremely poor. The Russian people still had nothing. They were very educated because during the communist period, education was extremely important and was pushed. So people would have PhD and go around driving a taxi. They were garbage collectors with PhDs. And they were poor. But the Jews owned everything in Russia. They were lording it over. They were the princes of Judah until Putin became president. And then Putin did something that no one expected. He sent out the Russian equivalent of the IRS and the Russian equivalent of the FBI to investigate Mikhail Khodorkovsky. And he also went after Boris Berezovsky and Vladimir Gusinski and others. In fact, he ended up indicting and prosecuting and putting most of the Jewish crooks in prison. They were shocked. Can you believe that? That would be like Barack Obama investigating, turning loose the dogs at the IRS and the FBI, and them investigating J.P. Morgan and Citibank and Bank of America and Wells Fargo banks and all the other big bankers and putting them all in prison. And the heads of Exxon and Mobil and so forth, saying they're all a bunch of crooks, putting them all in prison. Now, Khodorkovsky ran away. Well, he was put in prison, but Boris Berezovsky, for example, ran off and was down in Israel and in England. They ran away. They fled the country. They knew they were all crooked thugs. In fact, many of them were indicted for murder. They murdered their opponents. They were vicious and fighting to become heads of, you know, towering magnates of industry. The country was getting nothing, but they got billions and billions. And the United States sent billions of aid money, but the Jews got it all. There was a period of 10 or 15 years there when this was the Jewish mecca of the whole world, Russia, until Vladimir Putin. And then he became president in 2000. I believe he was reelected in 2004 with about 71% of the vote. That's 7 out of 10 people. President. Now, he's been president there. He was premier for some years. But basically, he's been president. Now, a man named Medvedev was the deputy and still has some power. What has happened to Russia after all of these Jewish thugs and crooks were put in prison? And the corporations and companies that they own were taken over by the government, are given to the people. The people were able to buy the shares and they became traded corporations on the stock exchange. It became a free country. Guess what? Real incomes went up 2.5 times. That's 250%. Wages were tripled. People saw a tripling of their wages. They've got 3 times as much money. Poverty was halved. Satisfaction with life was way up. The Russian economy went up every year. The gross domestic product was up 72% the first 10 years. And everything was booming. The oil and gas industry, the diamonds, the gold, everything was booming in Russia under Putin. He even reduced the income tax, which is something evidently that Mr. Obama doesn't want to do in America. He keeps raising taxes. But Putin introduced a flat income tax. Everybody pays 13% across the board. Then he turned around and reduced the business taxes by a third. Now, folks, if you owned a business, you had your taxes reduced by a third. If you were a person, your taxes were about 50%. They went down to 13%. No wonder the man's so popular over there. After all these years in office, guess what? He ran again in 2012. After 12 years as the boss of Russia, he runs again. They had a free vote, and guess what? The man won 64% of the vote. Now, Forbes magazine, that's not exactly a communist publication, you know. Some here in America, Forbes magazine, calls Putin the world's most powerful man. The world's most powerful man. Pravda did a poll of the world's press, and they said he was the world's number one politician. I thought Barack Obama deserved all those accolades, didn't you? But no, they go to Vladimir Putin. Now, one of the reasons he's been so popular is because in Russia, they also have terrorists. We don't have many in the United States, but they've got a lot more in Russia, including one of their provinces called Chechnya, the Chechen War terrorist. And he prosecuted that war, boy, and he's put most of the terrorists in prison. And so he's become extremely popular for being a terrorist fighter and promoting the economy. And the people there know that they have more freedoms than America. Did you hear what I just said? With some exceptions, there are more freedoms in Russia than there are in the United States of America. Our press, our industry is owned by Jews. They control the United States. We know that. They run the financial organizations. Even Obama himself is forced to appoint Jews to the highest office. The Secretary of the Treasury, Jacob Lew, is Jewish. The chairman of the Federal Reserve Board is Janet Yellen. She's a Jew. But you cannot point to one Jew in a high government office, not one in Russia. Not only that, he started a system over there where they give corporations an award each year if they are a national champion. In other words, he promotes nationalism. Well, what do we do here in the United States? We have NAFTA. We have the Pacific Area Trade Association. And we say, oh, it's wonderful. Open trade. Free trade. That's what it's not open trade, but free trade. It's wonderful when all our corporations open up factories and make all their products in Red China, in India, in Indonesia. We don't want nationalist organizations. Nationalism is evil, say the Democrats and the Republicans. It's evil. We want to open ourselves up to the world. We want free immigration. Millions and millions of immigrants pile into America. But Russia says we want to keep our country, Russia. And they give nationalist awards for the corporations that are more nationalistic. Would you like to know how many Apple telephones are made in the United States? Apple, the iPhone. Let's see, I've got 10 fingers on my hand. 1, 2, 3, I've got 10 fingers. Not even that many iPhones are made in the United States. They're all made in Red China. Washers, dryers. You know, every product you can think of, computers, everything is made in Red China. Not everything, of course, but most stuff. Some of the TVs are made down in Mexico, and it goes on and on. Hershey bars now. eat a Mexican candy bar. That's what you're doing when you eat a Hershey. But he promotes nationalism. In the oil and gas industry, he's pushed it and revolutionized it. And so Russia, I have a chart here. I'm sorry I can't send it by radio. But it shows the Russian economy, you know, the arrow is going up, 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 up. Isn't that amazing? Just by getting rid of all the Jewish thugs, the economy goes up, 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 up. Does that tell Barack Obama what direction to take in the future? It should. You know, I read about Bank of America ripping millions of Americans off in the mortgage industry. You get a mortgage and you're cheated out of thousands of dollars by one of the world's biggest banks. There ought to be people put in prison for that. No, they're given big bonuses. Not in Russia. Not in Russia. Now, he has the seventh largest economy in the world. The seventh largest. It's increased by 7% per year. The 10th largest gross domestic product. Seems like Russia's doing pretty good. For a guy who didn't know anything about politics, who was a KGB agent, that's pretty good. We have a guy that doesn't know much about politics, too. His name is Barack Obama. And the economy has not improved. We have more people on poverty level right now than we had 20 years ago. It's getting worse. We have the multinationals that are running our country. All debts in Russia, all national debts, have been repaid. By 2005, he had paid back everybody that Russia owed in the whole world. They don't have any national debt. Now, what's our national debt? They said it's $14 trillion and growing every year. Now, oil, half of the economy is based on it. And guess what? They don't have any question about the XL pipeline there. They're still building pipelines across Russia. And we're going to talk more about Russia and its benefits and advantages. There's a free country. They say that Russia is what America used to be, and America is what Russia used to be. Think about that. We're going to take a short break. I'm Tex Mars, and I'm giving you the reasons why I believe that Vladimir Putin, president of the Russian Federation, should be, deserves to win the Nobel Peace Prize. I'll be right back after this brief message. Hello, friends. I'm Tex Mars. You know, if you want to know about Israel, about the Jews, you need to know about their race and their culture. Well, DNA is the biggest thing going now, And folks are able to find out the DNA of their heritage. I can find out my DNA by sending $99 to a company, an online company, and they'll analyze it scientifically and send it back. Anybody can. Well, did you know that in 2012, a geneticist, a doctor of Johns Hopkins Medical University named Dr. Iran Elhaik, he's Jewish, he was born in Israel, he did a study at Johns Hopkins Medical University, in fact, the Nathan McKusick Genetics Institute there, of the bloodline of the Jews. Now, the Jews have always said we can trace our heritage all the way back to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We're the descendants of Abraham. We're his heirs, and therefore we own the land. God gave the heirs, the descendants of Abraham, the land of Israel. Now, it was only since 1948 that most of the Jews went to Israel. Most of the people who call themselves Jews. They were living in Poland, Lithuania, Romania, and other Eastern European countries, some Russian and others. But in 1948, Israel was made a state for the first time. It was Palestine before. And there they were living in their unwalled villages, peacefully. And across the borders comes this incredible horde of people who called themselves Jews and said to the Palestinians, we're going to kick you out. We'll kill you if you don't leave. We want your villages. We want your businesses. We want your farms and your orchards. And we deserve them because God gave them to us. 2,500 years ago, God gave them to us. We are Jews. And then they began to kill and to purge the Palestinians. There's even a book written about it that we offer in this ministry by a professor named Ilian Pappe, P-A-P-P-E, entitled The Ethnic Cleansing of Israel, of Palestine. The Ethnic Cleansing of Palestine. He will tell you, and you'll read that book, how this Israeli admits that they murdered so many Palestinians, did terrible things to them. The problem is that using DNA science, we now discover they were not Jews. The people who live in Israel and call themselves Jews are not Jews. I don't say that, folks. Science does. Their DNA proves it. They come from the country of Khazaria in the Caucasus, south of Russia, and there they converted. They were pagans who worshiped the nature goddesses and gods and so forth. And there in the 8th century, they converted to Judaism. That would be just like the Japanese or the Chinese converting to Judaism. They were Jews, but only in religion. They have no bloodline, they're not the seed of Abraham. That's ridiculous. Marilyn Monroe converted to Judaism, and Sammy Davis Jr., the black singer, did. But it didn't change their race, did it? They weren't the seed of Abraham. They were just members of the Judaic religion. That's what these people are. They're members of the Judaic religion. They converted. But they're not racially Jews. Now, when the Russians conquered Khazaria, many of them fled. And they went over to live in Poland mostly, but also Lithuania and Romania and other countries. And in 1948, they had their chance and they said, we want to go to Israel. We want to be real Jews. Now, their leaders knew that they weren't Jews, but lied to the people. Now, in America, most of the Jews that you see, their names could be Greenberg or Goldman or Goldstein or Silverman, whatever their names are, they are not Jews. They're Khazarians. When people ask Marilyn Monroe what she was, I guess she could say, well, I'm a Jew. when they asked Sammy Davis Jr., he said, I'm a Jew. They said, no, you're a black man. Well, he was a black man, but he was also religiously a Jew. These people are not of the bloodline of Abraham. Now, I've talked about this, I've explained it, and I've proven it in my book, DNA Science and the Jewish Bloodline. This is a book, I was told if I published this book, I would have to go into hiding. I was told that. You will have to go into hiding. Why? Because the Zionists will try to kill you. I'm not worried about that. I'm still driving my car, going home every night, going out to eat when I can, doing what I do. Jesus is my bodyguard. And I have this book, and it's for you, my friends. It's 256 pages of truth. I give you all the names of the Jewish geneticists. It's interesting that the ones who have done these new studies, DNA studies, turn out to be Jews. And I admire them for their study, for their work. I got a phone call just a few weeks ago from a Sephardic Jew. And he thanked me for my book. He said, these Zionists are evil. They don't care about DNA science. They don't care about science at all. They're lying. It's a big hoax, the whole, you know, Zionist thing. I said, well, you're Jewish, aren't you? He said, well, yes. And I go to a synagogue. I remember a synagogue, but I'm not a Zionist, he said. They're evil. Boy, he was telling me something, wouldn't he? This man happens to be one of the top scientists in the whole world. There he was thanking me for my book, congratulating me on it. Stick by it, but watch your back, he said. We're all who oppose these Zionist freaks, these liars, these hoaxers. They want to keep deceiving people. They want the title of that land. Why? It gives them justification, the moral justification for killing people. And the United States and its Christian community is helping them, giving them millions, billions of dollars. And these pastors across America are saying God wants us to do it for the Jews. But they're not Jews. And so they have brought the Christian church in on their conspiracy. And I have exposed it. This is the first book ever to expose it. And I guess you might say I'm in a conspiracy too with all of these Jewish doctors. I give you Dr. Ariella Oppenheim of Yeshiva University. She did a study and found out the same thing. Guess what, folks? The Palestinians have more Jewish blood, Israelite blood, that is, Israelite blood, than do the people who call themselves Jews. They're killing the Palestinians and driving them off their land, taking their land. And it's the Palestinians that have more Jewish blood than they have. It would be like the Japanese or the Chinese or the Indonesians invading South Texas and telling us Texans here, get out of Texas. God gave us this land 2,500 years ago. And I would say, you're Indonesian, you're Indian, you're Japanese, you're whatever. They'd say, no, 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 you can't prove it. I said, yeah, take a DNA test. If you take DNA, they're going to turn out to be what they are. These people have turned out to be what they are, which is Khazarian. Now, there have been books by historians and archaeologists and other scientists, but they didn't have DNA in the world till 1968. Now they do. Since 1968, we've known this, and now we have the top scientists in the world doing the research. And there are Zionists who are also in the field of DNA science trying to give hoaxes right now, trying to claim that this isn't so. But I give you the facts. Here it is, the only book in the world, DNA Science and the Jewish Bloodline. Read it for yourself. It's an astonishing thing. Give this to all of your Jewish, your Christian friends. Show them where they're wrong. Help them out here. man bought a copy for his pastor last week, and he phoned me up and he said, "Tex, I brought this book," and the pastor saw the cover. And he went, "Oh, I can't read that. The cover just says DNA science of the Jewish bloodline." "Oh, what does it say?" He says, "Well, it says that the Jews are actually of the heritage of the Khazarians." "Oh, no, I can't read that. Oh, Satan must have written that book." The Bible says, don't judge anything until you check it out, until you investigate. That's folly, the Bible calls it, folly. They're frightened of this book. But it was great fun to write. I like to write truth. I enjoy writing truth. And it was great to quote all of these great Jewish scientists. In the words of these Jewish scientists, in the research. By the way, Dr. Elhike has recently gotten a big promotion. He's over at Sheffield University, which is the world's top university for DNA research. He's there now as a professor. Okay, the book. See, Jerry, how much is that book going to be? 20? Okay, $20. It's 256 pages. $20. Add $5 shipping and handling. A total of $25. Ask for the book on DNA. DNA science in the Jewish bloodline. $25. That'll take care of all the shipping and the packaging and so forth. We'll get it right out to you. We got plenty of copies. The book is just, you know, going out the door. A lot of them are being sold, I'll tell you. DNA science in the Jewish bloodline for $25. That takes care of the shipping. Here's how to get your book. Call us toll free. 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. You can go to our website, powerofprophecy.com. Right there on the home page, you'll see the book. And then, of course, you can write to us. Send us a check or money order or cash for $25 at Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Ask for the book, DNA, Science, and the Jewish Bloodline by me, Tex Mars. Glad to send it to you. Shouldn't the truth become popular? You know, there's so many books with lies and manufactured propaganda. Here's a book, just a straightforth truth. No wonder they hate it so much. It's got truth in it. It's got all these facts. Let's return our regular program now. We're talking about Vladimir Putin. Vladimir Putin. I'm nominating him for the Nobel Peace Prize. Did you know that Barack Obama got the Nobel Peace Prize? Yes, he did. He got the Nobel Peace Prize. He had just been elected and they gave it to him. Why, he hadn't accomplished anything yet, had he? How did he get the Nobel Peace Prize? Well, he got it. They were so impressed with a black man becoming president of the United States. And he said, I want to end these wars and all that. And they believed him. Of course, he's a liar, but they did believe him. And so in 2009, they gave him the Nobel Peace Prize. What is the Nobel Peace Prize? Well, it was begun by Alfred Nobel, a Jewish scientist. Alfred Nobel, he's the guy who invented or developed gunpowder. Actually, it was even before his time, but he's the one that developed it, and he opened up a bomb-making plant. Became a rich billionaire from gunpowder, from bombs. Now, isn't it only appropriate that a bomb maker, a killer of people, come out with something called the Nobel Peace Prize? And periodically they select a person for this prize. What person deserves it more than Vladimir Putin? Well, Obama sure didn't. He was given the prize based on what they thought he might do in the future. So what has he done since 2009? That's 5 years ago. He's probably killed about 500,000 people. After all, he continued the war in Iraq. He continued, even escalated the war in Afghanistan. He started a war and ended up murdering, helping rebels and terrorists murder Gaddafi, the head of Libya. They killed Gaddafi in a horrible, horrible way, just as they hung Saddam Hussein in Iraq. And then we put our own toady as president. They have no freedom over there. We also forced out Mubarak, and he died of something. They say old age or whatever, but in fact, well, you know what I suspect. Then his replacement, Bob Morsi, also has been deposed. Now, Obama has started wars in Yemen. He continued the war in Somalia. He's got wars going all over the Middle East. He started drone assaults. And drones go into Pakistan and kill people. So we're fighting a war in Pakistan. He's the biggest warmonger president we've ever had. He even beats George W. Bush. Now, working close with the Israelis, with the Jews, and their Mossad spy agency, Obama had his sights on Syria. So America is spending millions of dollars training Syrian terrorists fighting out of Jordan. I mean, we've got bases set up there, and we're training these terrorists. We're even training terrorists that are Al-Qaeda. So America has now become the sponsor of Al-Qaeda, and we're into Syria. And they have an ongoing war, and they say that 170,000 people have been killed over the last 2 years in Syria. Now, we're trying to unseat and throw out of office a guy named Assad, who's the president of Syria. It's not that he's been a bad guy. He's just not our bad guy. We want our bad guy, who is Al-Qaeda. So we're sponsoring all these terrorists, one of whom actually tore out the liver and the heart of a victim and ate it in front of the cameras. And we're giving him the money. We're supporting it all. Why? Because Syria is the enemy of Israel. Israel wants Syria out, and we're going to conquer it for them. Now, Israel also wants the mullahs of Iran out. Now, the president, Ahmadinejad, lost the election. He's out. The one they call the Hitler is out. How can that be? He was a Hitler, wasn't he? The United States said so. Netanyahu of Israel said he's another Hitler. But he lost the election. He's out of office. Now we've got a guy named Rouhani. Now Rouhani wanted peace and he wanted to talk with America, but America wouldn't talk to him. Now Barack Obama said he believed in talk. It's what he said before he was elected to office. But once in office, he wouldn't talk to anybody. He doesn't talk to Assad. He wouldn't talk to Rouhani. He had made up his mind that America was going to attack Iran. Now, and we were going to attack Syria. Now, that means hundreds of thousands, perhaps, of Americans dead. Or at least thousands, tens of thousands, perhaps. But Obama doesn't care about that. So we had war on our mind, and Israel was pushing us. Go in, go in, go in. Every day they would make up claims. Syria has weapons of mass destruction. Iran has weapons of mass destruction. And we were just on the very precipice of going in and invading and attacking. It would mean thousands more Americans to have artificial limbs, their bodies wrecked. We've already spent over $1 trillion fighting those wars over there. It would mean another trillion or two. And we were on the very verge of war until a man stepped in named Vladimir Putin. And Vladimir Putin said, wait just a minute. If you go to war and attack Syria and Iran, you may have to fight us too. They're our allies. Uh-oh. This is the one country that America doesn't want to battle. The New World Order does not want war with Russia. Now, Europe, the European community and NATO attempted to bring Russia under its wings. And of course, we wanted to make Russia our toady to do whatever we wanted. But Putin says, no, we're not interested in becoming a member of NATO. We're not interested in becoming a member of the European community. Economically, he said, we're going to have our own economic community. The Eurasian community. He invited countries formerly of the Soviet Union and asked them to become members of the Eurasian community. Well, this really angered Europe. They had already brought Poland and Czechoslovakia and other countries, Hungary, into the European community. And they wanted to keep growing and growing and growing and gobble up half the rest of the world. But Russia was saying no. That angered America. It angered Europe. And some other countries, given Russia's behavior and action, took the same decision. Ukraine, for example. Ukraine said to Europe, no, we're not going to become part of Europe. We're going to become part of Russia's Eurasian community. That made Europe angry. It made America angry. Meanwhile, America was frightened. Obama was too frightened to send troops and to send airplanes and missiles and our Navy and all of that into Syria and Iran. And then Putin had the audacity to go to Iran to Assad and say, you do have chemical weapons. How about giving them up? And you know what? Assad said, I will. If America will not attack, we will give up our chemical weapons. Well, that took the legs out from Obama. Why had Obama not told the Syrians this? You give up your chemical weapons, we will not attack you. He just kept screaming. Obama kept screaming about all these chemical weapons. We've got to go in there. And then Iran. Putin went to Iran. And he said, will you talk to America about your nuclear program? You're making these centrifuges. You say you don't want to make nuclear weapons. So why don't you just give them an assurance and allow inspectors into your plants? So America and the world can see that you're not building nuclear weapons. Why don't you do that? And Iran said, okay, we'll do that. And Putin then goes to America and says, okay, your two enemies over here, Syria and Iran, they're going to give you what you want. Syria is going to give up their chemical weapons, and Iran is not going to make nuclear weapons and allow your inspectors in. And Israel was angry. It was just like Saddam Hussein. Saddam Hussein said, we don't have weapons of mass destruction. Yes, you do. And Condoleezza Rice said, oh, yes, they've got it. I can see mushroom clouds across America. Of course, we went into Iraq. We lost thousands of troops, hundreds of billions of dollars on military arms. And what did we find? Nothing. No weapons of mass destruction. Now, it's either Russia says they've agreed already to do what you want. Syria and Iraq, or Iran. And if you attack them, you may be attacking Russia too. That was too much. That was too risky. So Obama had to go to talks. He ended up talking with Iran, with Rouhani, the new boss there, the president. Now, he refuses to talk with Assad, but he agreed to Assad's proposal to get rid of his chemical weapons. So Putin kept the United States from two major wars. Now that's what I call a peacemaker. What do you think, folks? He kept America from fighting in the Middle East from two wars. America, head of the New World Order, wants to keep dabbling all around the world and fighting, and we spent trillions of dollars on all these American arms. Did you know that we spend more money on the military, on military arms, than all the world's nations combined? Isn't that an amazing thing? There are 175 nations on earth. And the United States of America spends more money on its military than all the rest of the world's nations combined. And we wanted to keep going to build up the New World Order. And then this pesky guy named Putin comes in. Says, I don't want you to invade anymore. I don't want you to invade this country or that country. So Obama, you know, gets a little bit of sweat behind his collar and says, well, okay. So we had peace. Now, meanwhile, we keep supporting the Al-Qaeda terrorist in Syria. But we're not going to attack ourselves. And as far as Iran, Iran is now free. And Iran's making pacts and agreements and selling its oil to other countries. Putin kept America from war. You know, I'm thinking of having bumper stickers made up with the words Putin for president. I mean, in a Washington Examiner poll, February 18th, listen to this. Americans have turned against Obama. He's known as a liar. You know, remember the lie? If you want to keep your medical plan, insurance plan, you can keep it. If you want to keep your doctor, you can keep that. And I'm going to save every American family $2,500 per year. Of course, most people find out their costs have doubled. They can't keep their medical plan. They can't keep their doctor. He lied to us. So according to Washington Examiner poll, February 18, 71% of the voters regret ever voting for Obama. 71% of the people who voted for Obama now regret it. 55% of the Democrats regret it. 80% of all white people regret it. 100% of the Hispanics, man, 100% regret it. 39% of the blacks, even 39% of the blacks say they regret ever voting for Obama. 84% of the women regret it. Wow. Maybe Obama ought to give back his Nobel Peace Prize. Maybe he ought to give it to Vladimir Putin. Now look, I know that Putin isn't perfect. I don't know a little bit of that mystery of the KGB situation. Now he's against the gays. That's great. Did you know that they took a poll in the Soviet, in Russia, and 64% of the Russians, 64% said they liked what Putin did. What did Putin do? The Duma over there passed a law. What did the law say? That you could not propagandize for homosexuality. Now, when they had the Sochi Olympics, they were wildly popular and successful. Guess what Putin said? He told the gays, if you're going to come to Russia, feel free to come to Russia. We won't stop you. But don't do anything with our kids. Leave our children alone. He is the protector and defender of Christendom. He says the Western countries of the United States have lost their moral compass, but not Russia. He supports the Orthodox Church. He supports and defends Christianity. He is against the perverted homosexual community. And 64% of the Russians agree with him. In America, we're now going to become a godless, atheistic country. That's where we're headed, but not in Russia. Now they're going to become a Christian country. Isn't it amazing? Godless communism in Russia is dead. Christianity is alive. In America, things are waxing worse and worse, with men deceiving and being deceived. I say, Putin, with all your faults, you are a peacemaker. And Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. Well, this has been Tex Mars. My prayer is that you'll tune in each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.